832, there we find the doctrine of original sin, Article 15 of the Belgic Confession. So we can continue on in our study of Scripture, looking at what the Church has discovered in Scripture about certain teachings. So tonight we deal with the doctrine of original sin, Article 15, page 832. You're invited just to follow along. Says the Belgian Confession, we believe that by the disobedience of Adam, original sin has been spread through the whole human race. It is a corruption of all nature, an inherited depravity which even infects small infants in their mother's womb and in the root which produces in man every sort of sin. It is therefore so vile and enormous in God's sight that it is enough to condemn the human race. And it is not abolished or wholly uprooted even by baptism, seeing that sin constantly boils forth as though from a contaminated spring. Nevertheless, it is not imputed to God's children for their condemnation, but is forgiven by his grace and mercy, not to put them to sleep, but so that the awareness of this corruption might often make believers groan as they long to be set free from the body of this death. Therefore, we reject the error of the Pelagians, who say that this sin is nothing else than a matter of imitation. So far, the Article 15. Then we turn to the Bible, where we find some biblical support for this teaching as well. And so our scripture for tonight is Romans chapter 5, 15 to 19. That's page 1753 in your pew Bible. I'll read this passage. I'll say, this is the word of the Lord, and the congregation responds together saying, thanks be to God. Romans chapter 5, 1753. Romans 5, 15 to 19. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Spirit, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many are made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word tonight. Your congregation of Jesus Christ, there's one thing very clear in the Bible, and that is that God always deals with communities, not individuals. He deals more or less with communities. He's a personal God, to be sure, but he's not individualistic. God deals with communities. When Noah builds the ark and enters the ark, Noah and his community, Noah and his family enter the ark. When Abraham was circumcised, his family was circumcised. When a king in Israel was judged, then Israel as a community was judged. When believers are baptized in the New Testament, they are baptized as families. God always deals with families, communities. This truth also applies to Adam. Adam, in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 3, is our representative. When he sinned, he wasn't acting by himself. When he fell into sin, all of humanity fell in sin with him. Tonight, we talk about this a bit more, looking at Article 15. We talk about how that is and how Adam's sin has affected us all. And so in Genesis 3, when Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, he fell into sin. How did Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden affect us? Well, in at least two ways. Number one, it affected us in that all of us, not just Adam, all of us have been polluted with sin. Now we are stained with it. Now we are corrupted. We are broken in sin. Concretely, what that means is now I can't help but sin. I do it naturally now, in and of myself. Adam was given that curse, but I share in that curse. Adam's original sin, as we call it, affected us in that we're altogether polluted by sin. And number two, we are affected in that in Adam, we are also altogether guilty. Hear me out on this. God said to Adam, the day you eat of the fruit is the day that you will die. Well, Adam, he ate of that tree, and so he is guilty. That's his status. He is worthy of death and of judgment. And so Adam is condemned. He is guilty. Adam is guilty, but so are we. We share in his guilt. Because God deals with communities, all of us are condemned in Adam's sin. So these are the two ways in which Adam's original sin affects us all. We're altogether polluted in Adam, and we're altogether guilty in Adam. The Belgic Confession mentions these two effects in Article 15. Says the Belgic, we believe that by the disobedience of Adam, original sin has been spread through the whole human race. What did it cause? Says the Belgic, it is a corruption or a brokenness or a pollution of all nature, an inherited depravity which affects small infants in their mother's wombs and the root of which produces in men every sort of sin. And what else is it saying? It is therefore so vile and enormous in God's sight that it is enough to condemn the human race. See that? We're all polluted and we're altogether guilty in and because of Adam. Now, some people might not like this. Some people might say that this sounds very unfair. They say, wait a minute. What you're saying is God judges me for something I can't even help and for something that I didn't even do? Adam did this, not me. This is fair? So maybe I better address that. It's interesting that other cultures don't struggle with this so much because most other cultures have a better appreciation of community and how community affects us, and how we're always one with community. But then again, on the other hand, if we examine our own culture a bit more, we notice that we do operate with this community idea more than what we often think. I think of when Marianne and I moved to our various churches. When we moved to Jarvis from Wyoming, let's say, we moved as a family. We didn't make our decision democratically, giving each one in the family a choice or a vote. No, our children came to Jarvis because we came to Jarvis. That's how families, that's how communities work. My actions affect my family. It affects my family's lives because that's the way it works. Or I think of the representative role of our prime minister. If Justin Trudeau were to declare war on the United States of America, probably not a very good idea, then all of Canada is at war. Then I'm at war, and you are at war too. You can say, well, Justin Trudeau decided that, not me. Well, too bad. Justin Trudeau is our representative. That's how life is. We are a community. And so it is with Adam. Adam's guilt is our guilt. Adam's pollution is our pollution. We're in this together. This is biblical. Romans 5, verse 18. Consequently, the result of the one trespass was condemnation or guilt for all men. In verse 19, he writes, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, the many were made sinners." That means broken. That means polluted. So this is our lot, folks. And there's nothing we can do to fix this. Although we often try to find people who will try to fix it. Some try to fix our lot. Some try to fix our lot by better education. If we just educate people better, they say. If we just create better conditions for people, if we just raise them up right, then all bad things will go away. Yeah, right. That's what Pelagius taught in the early church. Our Belgian Confession mentions him at the bottom of Article 15. Pelagius, a monk from the 4th century, said the reason we are sinners is because we learn it from our parents. We imitate them. So if we just have better parents or better parenting, then sin would go away. That's what Pelagius said. Not so. Oh, it's true that negative parenting can have adverse effects, just as positive parenting can have positive effects too. But does it cure the problem? No. This is the way we are. We need changing from the inside out. There's only one thing that can fix this, and that's the gospel. That's Jesus Christ. It's faith in Christ. Let me emphasize that. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some think that the waters of baptism somehow take away our guilt and our pollution. Just imagine if that were true. Then I would just run up behind people with a bucket of water and I would splash them with a bit of water and say, ta-da, you're baptized. Wouldn't that be a simple solution? But baptism does not take away our guilt nor our pollution. What baptism does is it points to what does fix the problem, and that's Christ and our faith in Him. Yes, only Christ fixes our problem. It's our faith in Him. Praise God for Jesus Christ. For who is He? Jesus Christ is our second Adam. He's our second representative figure. And what he accomplishes for us who believe. In the first Adam, we all die. In the second Adam, all who believe in him live. That's what Romans 5 teaches. A comment then about Romans 5 looks complicated when you first read it, but when you look at it closely, it's not all that complicated. What Romans 5 does is compares the two representative acts of the first Adam and the second Adam. Paul, he puts them on a balance beam, a teeter-totter. Basically what he says is, Adam did bad, and it's pretty bad. We deserve judgment in him. You can see the teeter-totter, you know, weighing down very heavily on this side. But then we have the second Adam. Look what he does. He wins so much. So let's weigh the two. You know, the first Adam, he was tempted. Where was he tempted? He was tempted in a garden. He had everything at his disposal. He had all the trees of the garden except for one. Where was the second Adam tempted? He was tempted in a desert, in a wilderness, for 40 days. And his temptations were much more severe, but he remained obedient. Obedient, all right, He went to the cross. He descended into hell. He took it all. And more, and what more did he accomplish? He accomplished our resurrection, our restoration. And not just our resurrection and our restoration, but the recreation of all things. Through Christ's work, all will be made perfect, so that it will never fall again. Christ's death and resurrection guarantees it. And by faith in him, all this becomes ours. Now, this may not look very fair. Christ could have said, "Father, don't let me go through all of this. I didn't sin. You should punish them." But no, Christ goes willingly. Christ goes because he's all about grace, unmerited grace. That's why in Romans 5, the teeter-totter finally falls completely on the side of Jesus Christ. Christ's salvation is much heavier than Adam's original sin. That's why Paul uses the "how much more" formula. Did you notice it? Verse 15, "But the gift is not like the trespass." You can hardly compare the two, he's basically saying. "For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, flow to the many?" Verse 17, "If by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of the righteous reign of life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" And so, this is the gospel. This is the cure for our guilt and our pollution. Yes, by faith in Christ, we share in Christ. He stands in our place. He's our new representative. Through him, we are declared righteous and just and holy. Through him, we find grace to make a whole new beginning, a beginning of thankful Christian obedience. That's the gospel. That's the gospel we sing about here. This is the gospel we groan about here, to quote Article 15 of the Belgian Confession. This is the gospel we celebrate around the Lord's table tonight. We focus on Christ. We grow in our faith in him. Christ, the second Adam, who stood in our place as our representative, and he makes us new by his grace. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we consider the two Adams, and we're altogether polluted and guilty in the first, but we are made new in the representative acts of Jesus Christ. We thank you that he went to the cross for us in our place. And yet somehow, by faith in him, we went there too. We died and we rose with Christ. He's our great second Adam. And so, Father, we thank you for the abundance of your grace. Not only are we restored, but the whole creation. All things will be made new. Come back quickly, Lord Jesus. Bless us tonight as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we celebrate what Christ has done on our behalf, for and with us. Bless us to that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.